List of films that all should see, excluding The Blind, will be proclaimed by two guys, one a dick, the other kind. You might guess one or two.
Film Vault. Yeah, welcome to the old Film Vault. What's happening here is you are hearing an episode from the Film Vault Vault, a classic episode. We had many to choose from our orange couch days. This one is from September of 2010. There was a keg in studio.
Yes, a keg. It was a leftover keg from one of your Bish Ball birthday parties.
I don't know if you guys came or not. But either way, there was beer to be drank, mm-hmm. and we were up to the task, and things got out of hand.
We got a little sloppy.
HR violations could have been filed.
I believe this is the one where I was like drowning at one point.
You were
on my beer.
You were drowning.
I was enjoying myself. I believe we were all enjoying ourselves, except for Katie, then Little Ears.
She was about to enjoy herself.
She was a co-engineer. There were some threats made of a sexual nature.
I would say it was an offer. I say it was an offer.
I think it might have been an offer. Yes, it was out of line and inappropriate, and definitely.
I regret it every day.
For re-airing. So I remember this being a fun episode. I can't remember what the topic was. We'll learn that together, I guess.
Oh, here we go.
From now on, everything has to be democratic.
Film Vault. Anderson, finger pop music.
I was into it. I was like, democracy.
Today on Film Vault, top five cameos, top five bit parts in movies. I feel like I'm awfully low, Logan. Is it right?
It's what we talked about earlier.
If it's just headphones, I'm okay.
Becoming a megalomaniac.
At least it's the headphones. Here you go.
Okay.
This is what I'm talking about, man. He's becoming insane with his own power.
He's drunk with power. And we're drunk with beer, by the way.
You are. I got here late, thank you.
I haven't had much more beer than you. Actually, you probably had more beer than me because I didn't finish my last one because a fly flew into it.
You know what? I catch up. I play catch up from working till midnight for all these years, and I go to a bar, and the first thing I do is I'm like, catch up time. Everyone's been here since 9. I just got here. It's 12:30.
Pour me a double.
Give me an adios, motherfucker.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good times. All right, so top five cameos coming up next. First, we want to start off with Flick Fashions. It was my birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday, Brian.
Thanks, buddy. Hence the keg. We had a keg from our birthday party.
36? 37?
Emotionally, or like cut me open, count the rings? I'm only 32.
Cut you open, count the rings. It's kind of ghastly.
I know, it's crazy.
Kind of gruesome. Right? I would like to start off by not only saying happy birthday, but also thanking our listeners for making us the number one Ace Broadcasting podcast on the network.
Is that true?
It's not true at all. But we are the most listened
number
to.
Number one, dude.
This is all just a gut feeling
gut
I have.
Gut feeling, yeah.
Gut feeling. I feel like we might have even gone over and beyond what Corolla himself is getting now. Is this true, Logan?
You two get more positive comments as hosts than any other show on
the show. Oh, there's something.
There's something to hang our hats on.
You just called in all the feeding frenzy for all the naysayers and negatories. You know what, though? I made the mistake. I was stuck on a bus the other day. Long story, but I was stuck on a bus. And I made the mistake of actually looking at... I'm like, hey, look, we got like 175 comments on our iTunes. What? Made a terrible mistake of reading some of those.
Oh, no. Were they mostly pro Anderson?
A lot of negative Anderson. But there's a lot of like, why they hate for Anderson, too, which I appreciate that. But you know what's cool about it is everything's like either 5 or 1.
Right.
A couple fours here.
But that's the best
sign. I love that.
Sign.
That's like a good movie. Like either really good
love
reviews
it, or you
really,
hate it.
Yeah. There's nothing... If you really want to piss me off, say, yeah, Anderson's okay. Yeah.
Or like, oh, no, listen to it once, never really followed. It's like, if you hate it or you love it, awesome.
But what sucks about that is it gives us an average of 3 stars. Which
that's weird, though, because like I didn't even realize you had an iTunes rating. I didn't realize you could rate podcasts on iTunes. I need to start rating more podcasts.
I rate them, but I always cuss them, so they never post them because I think that they have a censor. I usually have the word cunt in the title of the... And then they never show up. Is that because, are they censoring me?
They have a filter probably for the word cunt and probably for other bad words. And it's funny because speaking of people who hate the show or people who are vocal critics of the show, apparently my... My drafting, my fantasy football drafting.
Oh, that didn't go over so well, I heard. Yeah, a lot of people tweeted me about how they're upset.
We should talk about only films, no sports, nothing but films. So, Anderson, should we deviate from the film talk? Please let me know, and I will get us back.
Oh, I let you know plenty last week. Yeah. Well, that's unfortunate because today I will be doing my hockey draft while we sit here doing... No, I'm kidding.
No. Back on track.
I'm doing it this Saturday. I'm very excited. But also, I read one negative review. I only read the first page, and then I'm just like, why am I doing this to myself? I'm nauseous. Because it really hurts, guys. Sure. It stings.
Yeah.
It stings. But somebody wrote, I hate how Anderson got a bunch of his friends and family to come on here and stick up for him and say nice things. They're assuming that it's my friends. And what I have to say to you, fine sir, is if you only knew my friends and family. In fact, I know for a fact that my present girlfriend has written many negative things about me on various message boards
in
the past.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And my brother hates my guts, and I can't see my mom or dad saying anything nice about me. My friends would definitely say nothing but negative things about me just make themselves smile.
Just infuriate you. That's good stuff, man.
So anyways, it's not that great. Let's talk about Flick Fashion. Let's talk about
movies. Wait, hold on. I got to draft another player real quick.
You got to fuck off.
Okay. Flick Fashions, we're going to confess... the flicks we've seen in the last week. Last week I saw zero films, and this week I saw one.
Oh, my God.
It was a short week again.
You've seen one movie.
And I had a birthday.
In 2 weeks.
And a birthday party and all that stuff. So I've only seen... And Monday Night Football and Sunday Football. Yeah, I couldn't get around to seeing a bunch of movies.
You watch it? Okay.
What?
See, once again, guys, football and sports taken away from the podcast
here.
Go.
I rewatched...
Give me your one movie.
Specifically for today's topic, Top 5 Cameos. Mm. I watched Blues Brothers thinking, well, there's a lot of great cameos in there. I'll certainly watch this and have a couple of good
ideas.
Which
one? Which Blues Brothers?
What do you mean? Oh, Blues Brothers 2000, of course, with Joe Morton. No. I watched the original Blues Brothers thinking, the Aretha Franklin or the Ray Charles or some of the other. They're all funny, but none of them made my top five.
Good.
Good movie, fun movie. There is a great... era of about 5 years where you could do like a true blend of genres like the comedy, the musical, the action, or like Ghostbusters, like the sci-fi and the comedy. And that went away for a number of years.
Yeah, they toggled back and forth quite seamlessly and smooth.
That went away for a number of years.
Well, they forgot how to do it.
Zombieland was a real perfect blend of the horror and the comedy.
Overrated movie altogether, blended well from scene to scene, from one overrated scene to the next, you mean?
Really didn't like it?
It was on my top five overrated. You motherfucker! Where were you? Were you?
Was it really top five overrated?
Yes. Yes, it was. I went with all recent films.
That was the Chris Gord episode?
Blues Brothers came out in 1980, actually, the same weekend as a little film called Somewhere in Time. Somewhere in Time.
I don't listen to things you say. All right, Flick Fashions, what are your films?
I also like to say that I got a tweet from someone. I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but they said, how dare you not bring up Final Countdown on your time travel movies?
Yes,
I
saw that.
I agree. I have seen things about that movie. Never seen it. I have put it on my queue. It is coming to me tomorrow or the day after. I will watch it, and I will talk about it.
Yeah, Primer's on my...
You're a fool.
Shit to see. By the way, planting the seeds for future episodes and tweets, our 25th episode, our grand 25th celebration is coming up, and we'll be doing... Should we announce what we're doing? Can we talk about that?
Sure.
Yeah, we're going to do top five. Logan's shaking his head no.
No, we're good. We're about three episodes away from it.
I'll come up in a few episodes. We're going to do top five corrections. We'll readdress things.
Yeah, we're going to...
Readdress things that we missed. Take your suggestions of things we may...
We're
going to
read your comments on our website, which is the film...
Amend
vault,
our lists.
I just put in Google the Film Vault to find our website. If I need to, who actually writes in addresses? Who does
what
that?
What I'm saying is tweet us with whatever we've messed up in the past.
I don't know about tweeting, really.
If something sticks
I'm
in
lazy.
Your craw. If something... Well, yeah,
let's just go to our message. Every single episode
or
that has
post,
comments.
Yes.
Just go to comment
or just
on
post
it.
On our newest message board on the Corolla website,
and
adamcorolla.com.
Myself, my OCD, I'm sure that I will go over every single message that has been posted on various episodes up until now, and we will amend and agree with or apologize for or
defend.
Scream and yell and defend. Scream at you and defend our decisions. Yeah. But yeah, that's one. I mean, I hate to
There's
leave.
There's no shortage of way to get in touch with us, too. You can tweet us. You can get a hold of the Adam Corolla message board.
And like today, I'm sure that I'm going to forget. I've been looking, and I appreciate all your tweets you gave me for your favorite cameo. A couple of them were very good. A lot of them were terrible. But I'm sure that there's going to be like one or two that I will remember like a week or two from now. And it's just infuriating when I'm like, oh, my God, I'm a jackass.
Yeah.
But I got a pretty solid list.
Get that as a drop, by the way.
Okay, so I saw a documentary. It came from Kuchar. Is the name of a 2009 documentary, and it's about these two crazy underground
country
filmmakers.
I should know this.
Who are from New York, and they're insane, and now they teach. They continue teaching their bad ways of making films to kids at San Francisco University.
Sure.
And they're insane.
USF.
Twin brothers from New York, and it's got entertainment value, and they make terrible, terrible underground movies, but they do it for the love and passion of actual filmmaking.
That's great, like American movie.
Kind of like American movie, yes. The same ilk. Like these guys are kind of, but they make tons and tons and tons of movies.
Yeah.
But I would not recommend this to everyone, to very few people. A movie I would absolutely and totally recommend, though, A Face in the Crowd. Andy Griffith's first movie.
I was going to say, I don't know.
1957.
Really?
A movie way ahead of its time. If you like old black and white classic films, if you have the stomach for them, this is one that I don't know how I missed it this long. It is way ahead of its time. It's a character piece. It really studies megalomania and how this guy, he's Andy Griffith, is discovered in a jail and then goes on to be hugely influential in the television world. And you just watch him completely and totally unravel, almost like Scarface. It is great. It holds up for sure. And you know what? Something. This is a prime example of this. Like a lot of movies that you watch, at times it'll seem dull. At times it'll seem like, you know, where's the pacing? Let's go. But it's an investment, and it's totally worth it. And this movie is a great example of that, because at times I'm like, all right, come on, let's keep it moving, because it's much slower pace than, you know, movies that you're used to.
Yeah.
But then you think about these. If you can get through them and you actually watch them all the way through and get to know the characters and sit with the characters for a full 2 hours, I'm still thinking. I saw this thing like 4 or 5 days ago, and I'm still thinking about it every single day. It's worth the investment. It really is.
We should do top 5 movies that hold up. You know what I mean? Like movies that are more than 50 years old.
That'd be tough. Because I think you've probably seen it 6 or 7.
Yeah, and 5 of those probably hold up.
Walter Matthau, very young Walter Matthau, is also in this. And what's funny about this
and
movie.
The movie's from 1957, you can leave out the very young. We'll do the math on the 1957 Walter Matthau.
Walter Matthau is like the behind the scenes writer guy, and you can tell that whoever wrote this script, it's Elia Kazan. Directed it.
Sure.
But you can tell whoever wrote this just fucking hated talent and loved himself and really wrote himself as a very pompous I stand alone and you are wrong, sir. Way in Walter Matthau does that for this little writer man, whoever you are. I didn't look up the writer because I still give writers no respect.
Wow.
That is totally untrue.
You hate writers.
I love you, Bukowski.
That's right.
Charles Bukowski. I just finished Hollywood, by the way. We'll talk about that off air, but it's a great fucking book.
Sure. Okay. No books, films only. Films only in this podcast.
I promised everyone that I would see Just Visiting, which was the American remake of Les Visiteurs, which made my top 5 time travel movies, which is a little gem, like I said.
Also starring Jean Reno.
Jean Reno, yes, and same director. And it does not, just see the fucking French version. This is just, Christina Applegate's in it. A lot of the great things.
If you're so opposed to subtitles, get over it.
A lot. I missed some of it. I've seen it 2 or 3 times. The Les Visiteurs, and it's so rapid firing, the original French, that I missed a lot of the jokes. I'm sure, but this loses a lot of the punch, a lot of the rapid firing, and misses the mark.
Did they dumb it down for American audiences?
They definitely dumbed it down. And you know, there were a couple very, very funny parts, but they kind of seemed a little stale. Then I went back, and the only extras on the DVD that I had were was the theatrical trailer. So I watched the trailer, and all the funny parts were in the fucking trailer. So just, I'm telling you, if you like slapstick at all, you like funny characters, you like scrotum talk,
ooh.
Le Visiteurs.
Oh, well, put that on my queue, Logan.
All right.
Good times. Let's get Miss Movies in here.
Logan's managing your
queue. Let's see if we can get her a drink of beer.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Miss Movies, what's happening?
Hey.
Thanks for joining us. Miss Movies joins us on a semi-regular basis. Yeah, that's right. On a semi-regular.
Thank
wow.
You.
My Freudian. Phone's ringing, sorry.
It's a Freudian ring.
Sorry.
On a semi-regular basis for a segment we call Red Light, Green Light, she'll pitch us movies. Actual movies that are actually in some form of production, we will decide whether or not they should be red-lit or green-lit. First movie, please.
Wait, first, I did want to tell you a fun story.
It better be fun.
Well, for me it was fun. doubt for you. So my husband was in Seattle about a week ago for a convention.
Home Alone, pregnant and Home Alone.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and he was like, yeah, I was talking with this guy at the convention and we were talking about movies.
That's not fun.
And I said, my wife does a podcast on the Adam Carolla Network, and he said, your wife is Miss Movies?
Wow.
And I was like, what? That is all.
And I was like,
what?
Yeah, it turns out people
crazy.
Actually have access to the internet.
And, all over.
And listen
what
to
do you
the
know?
Show.
All over, coast
that's,
to coast.
That's just more proof that we are the number one. I have no
clue. Most commented.
When's the big Ace Podcasting Network staff party?
Yeah.
Where all the talent gets together and
I feel like I'm waiting
rub elbows.
For a long time.
There's rumor of a Christmas party.
Really? Well, there is a cake party going on right here in the studio.
True.
Logan, make sure when we take a picture this week that we include the keg in the picture because he's the real star of the show.
Ryan, you're such a frat fuck. You really are.
And a keg stand.
You really
like
are.
We discussed.
Wait till I do a keg stand, then you can say that.
You can have a beer, Miss Moose. Just a little sip. A little sippage.
A little knock.
A little knockage.
Maybe once the baby is born.
No.
So my milk can come in.
Like it's almost developed.
Like my really good friend said, who she was just wolfing down sushi while she was pregnant. And people were going, oh my God.
You're not supposed to eat sushi when you're pregnant?
You're not supposed to eat raw fish. Yeah.
Really?
And you know what she said? She's awesome. She says, if this baby's going to die from fucking sushi, I don't want this baby. I want another kid.
It's a good point.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, it's a good
outlook. I don't want any weak thing. Imagine what we ate in the wild back in the day.
Feel free to turn that phone on mute.
Okay. So, anyways.
First movie,
why don't you have a baby to make sure you get a tough one? Why don't you have a beer to make sure you have a tough baby?
That's right. Toughen that baby up.
Yeah.
First film is Contagion. An action thriller centered on the threat posed by a deadly disease and an international team of doctors contracted by the CDC to deal with the outbreak. This is by Center director Steven Soderbergh, starring Matt Damon, Marion Cotillard, Kate Winslet, Paltrow, Jude Law, and Lawrence Fishburne.
Wow, quite a cast. What's his face? Soderbergh and Damon, of course, worked recently on The Informant. I'm tracking my brain. Has Soderbergh ever done an
Ocean's 11, 12
action film?
Soderbergh?
Yeah.
You can call The Limey an action film. I mean, he doesn't really make straightforward action films.
This sounds like an
Out
action film.
Out of Sight could be considered an action film.
I guess it kind of
You know what? I'm going to say green. As soon as I heard soda, you have any...
you took a bet. Soda. You took a gamble based on the Berg, but it came through for you.
It's true.
You gamble on the Berg, but
his
horse came in.
Is welcome in my wallet, in my pocket. And down my pants anytime he wants. I love Mr. Steven Soderbergh.
Yeah,
hit and miss, but I love him.
Very hit and miss, but that's a hell of a cast, and I don't see...
He's one of the few working directors who actually takes chances, and he's tired of the same old, the norm, and he tries to deviate. And does, quite often, like that girlfriend experience. You ever see that?
I did not.
Not
but
a good
film.
You've
heard about it from Entourage.
Yeah, from Entourage, of course.
That's right.
I have not heard about it from Entourage, because I don't watch... television shows based on Marky Mark. Sorry.
You're not missing much about it. That's not a very good show.
Watch it then.
Yeah. It's a guilty pleasure. It's sort of like Sex and the City for guys.
There was a time when it was good.
Sex and the City for guys. That's perfect. That's exactly
it's
what that thing
pleasure.
Looks like.
Yeah.
What's Turtle doing this week, guys?
He has the worst subplots ever.
The fact that I know
who
Turtle is.
I'm constantly rolling my eyes turning to my wife and saying, Turtle's got another uninteresting subplot, because they're always uninteresting subplots.
Speaking of TV, I've been watching movies that shook the world lately. You guys seen this?
No.
I came across it, and I got a TiVo.
Where?
It comes up every week now, so I got a bunch of them. They're very good.
Where?
I don't know. It's TiVo. So
what
it's
channel?
It's like I don't punch in the...
Dude.
Google it.
God damn it.
Like everything else in life. Google
it. Green
just don't
me.
Bing
it. That's a fine film.
We were just discussing later about Jim Carrey.
Oh, we will talk about that next week.
It's in the future.
Yep.
Anyways, he's going to be in Where's Waldo?
Oh, God.
As Waldo.
Oh, Jesus.
That's right.
Can't you just see the trailer now?
Yes.
Where's Waldo?
There is no synopsis for this, and all it says is based on the books.
It's not
and I was
happen.
Like, based on the books?
Not going to happen.
You don't say.
Even Hollywood is not this dumb. It's not going to happen.
Oh, Anderson, you really don't think Hollywood's this dumb?
This is by the same producer that did Despicable Me, Ice Age, and Robots.
Robots is one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
I'm surprised you've seen it. I haven't.
Anderson sees everything.
Yeah. Robots is fucking awful. Farting robots, out!
The books have sold millions of copies. Carrie sold millions of tickets. Why not make a movie about it?
Are you going to have to try and find him in the movie?
That would be awesome. Because like he's so in the
they
background.
Do look alike.
And he's just around and like he's amidst a bunch of extras. You don't really even see him. That would be great.
I should do that for Halloween.
I like that, Logan. Interactive movie where he's very hard to find.
Wow.
Yes. He doesn't seem like a bad person. Well, I think he's a bad person.
Who, Waldo?
No.
Oh.
Jim. I could see him banging kids.
Well, Waldo's obviously a sailor. I mean, look at him.
Because of the nautical theme.
Yeah, look at him for God's sake.
Okay, he's a French sailor. Let's move on.
This sounds absolutely awful. I red light this.
He's essentially wearing the same thing that Kirk Douglas
Wait,
wore.
Would Waldo come out of a rhino's ass?
And
we'll talk about this next week when you come back.
I see him.
Yeah, I see him too. Top left-hand corner.
Yes.
10,000 Leagues Under the Sea. He's wearing the same outfit, except it's red instead of black. And he looks like Jacques Cousteau. Let's move forward.
Red.
Okay, moving forward.
Wait, Anderson, red or green?
Oh. It's ironic that the way that he has it set up on the screen in front of us, Jim Carrey has actually found Waldo. He's looking right at him.
He's looking right at him. He's like, hey, dipshits, he's right here. Game over.
This is a funny joke for three people sitting in here. Even Logan's confused.
No, it's on the website.
You can't see. Yeah, but Logan never puts it up the way I asked him to. Like last week when I was talking about Barry Pepper looking just like Ted.
He does. I thought it was.
You didn't put them side by side. He's just there's a strung out picture of Barry Pepper. Barry Pepper.
I got the website ready at like 1 o'clock in the morning on Thursday night.
So. Well, whose fault is that?
Watch this.
You get an N.
No one knows
for
what's
not
coming
following
here.
Directions.
You're fucking fired.
Wow.
And
go.
That's the beer talking. Sorry.
That's right.
Okay. So my next film is called...
Katie, you and your tiny ears are in. All right,
she has tiny ears?
She has tiny ears.
Yes.
Who's Katie?
No one knows.
Yeah. Picture of Katie up on the website.
All right, here we go.
Next to Barry Pepper.
We'll put her feet up.
Next to Barry Pepper.
The Bell Jar.
Oh, the Sylvia Plath novel?
That is correct. Huh? Thank you. That's all I got to say.
Stop trying to show off your little degree. Just because I dropped out in fifth grade, you got
to make
me feel
bad. Here's some trivia for you. That's what John Travolta's character, Vincent Vega, was reading on the John... in Pulp Fiction.
Ooh. And in Ten Things I Hate About You,
oh, is that true?
Julia Stiles was also reading it.
Julia Stiles likes black dudes in movies.
Guys, I know.
Yes.
It's surprising because her ass is not that large. I know nothing about this movie, this book. Please tell me. Tell me more.
It says, feeling hemmed in by the social conventions of her time, book editor Esther Greenwood is slowly taken over by mental illness.
Yeah. It's a good time. It's a book you can really see Vincent Vega.
And you know what? Julia Stiles is going to be in this. So is Rose McGowan.
Big time. Oh, poor Rose
Why
McGowan.
Is this book popular? It's about women's suffrage?
Mental illness.
And women's suffrage. She's hemmed in.
Don't you feel bad that Rose McGowan's face caught on fire?
What?
Where?
Doesn't that make you feel terrible?
When?
Obviously in real life.
Oh, you're a terrible person.
I'm just glad that Julia Stiles is back.
Awful person. Are you glad? We were talking recently about where the hell she gone.
So, no, Katie, to match what I just said, let's find a
she
picture
does
of her with a horrible, horrible plastic surgery.
I forgot to mention this. Just visiting that movie that
it's
you should miss. Three-starred. I three-starred it. Anyways, Tara Reid. Tara Reid's in that, Brian. I thought of you.
Oh,
you
no. Her boobs caught on fire.
You love her.
Oh, no.
Brian hates Tara Reid. However, many years ago, he on an inception of this show.
Oh no! There you go. By the way, I think it's a stone.
Brian admitted to beating off to Tara.
Yeah, that's true.
Tara.
That was a long time.
Is that
time
the same
ago,
person?
A lot of alien injections ago.
Okay, stop with the screen, guys. Just stop looking at the screen. It's very distracting.
Well, I think we just stumbled on something. I think that now, in reference to bad plastic surgery, we just referenced him to the time they caught him on fire.
Right, it's terrible. I've mentioned people looking like they had facial reconstructive surgery and not enough skin to get across their skull.
Thank you.
Before. Who was that?
Meg Ryan.
Speaking of no plastic surgery, I'd like to make a statement real quick. I feel really bad about Roger Ebert and all the things that I've said about him over the years. He showed up as a character in that book that I just mentioned, Hollywood, by Charles Bukowski, which is all about the writing of the screenplay's Barfly.
Right.
Which is called The Dance of Jim Beam in the book. Really good book.
Okay.
Very depressing and funny at the same time. And it's all about Hollywood and how an old writer sees Hollywood and how he's pulled into it. And Barbe Schroeder, the director. And he uses all fake names and stuff so he can call it fiction, but it's all total nonfiction. Right. Like all of his work.
What did Roger Ebert do?
Roger Ebert shows up in the book. His name's Tom Kirby, I think.
Okay.
And he comes off as the nicest guy. And Charles Bukowski is known for writing characters and people as they are. And Kirby... or Roger Ebert shows up, and he's just such a down-to-earth, nice guy. He's acting like a kid in a candy store because he's on a movie set, even though he's been doing it for so long.
Right.
He's still, I give him a lot of shit because he hates some movies that I absolutely love, but I think that he was probably a good guy, and I feel really bad. So that's all. I just wanted to purge for a moment.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Sensitive moment from Anderson.
I feel bad.
How do you feel about this film about mental illness?
We know nothing about who's in it.
He's missing half his fucking face now, and I feel really bad for him. I feel terrible.
Is there a director attached?
Bitches Losing Their Mind is overrated.
Tristine Skyler.
Yeah. Ooh, in that case, green. No, this sounds 10 kinds of awful.
The last Girl Losing Her Mind movie was that got a lot of hype.
Girl Interrupted? Sure.
I guess so. If you want to talk about awards hype,
I don't know enough about this movie to say yes or no.
No.
Bitches, crazy bitches.
Good times. Thank you, Miss Movies. Tweet tweet her at
Crazy Bitches. Good times.
Let's hear some. What are some movies that you should not? You're talking about a list of movies you should not see while pregnant. That'd be a good top five. What's that?
Sushi movies.
Sushi movies.
Logan, you're
about
fired.
Raw fish. Old Boy would be on that list because he eats raw, a live octopus. What Miss Movies? That guy. Alien was one of them. What else?
Oh yeah, things bursting out of you.
Exorcist.
That
the
one
Omen.
With Katherine Heigl.
I also knocked up.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I don't remember.
All right, good.
Thanks. Months.
Thank you. Tweet her at Miss Movies. Check out her website, hitormissmovies.com. Coming up next.
I'm getting drunk.
Good times. Coming up next, top five cameos on the Film Vault.
Yeah.
I sacrifice for evil, eagles don't get in the way. I conquered it a while ago when it hides away. Till occasionally when I gotta shout these flows at those that don't know. But stick with me, baby, and we can fly as high as you want. Wanna leave, then I will follow. My coke swallows back at 151. Why not?
Hey, this is Cary Elwes, and you're listening to The Film Vault on the 8th Broadcasting Network.
Yeah, welcome back. This is The Film Vault. Anderson's tipsy. Oh, my God. Anderson, get a hold of yourself, for God's sake. Yeah, we're a little out of control.
You know, I didn't even know that we were going to be drinking today. Thank God I thought ahead and mailed in my my top five again.
Again? Mailed in?
Yeah.
More difficult, yeah, more difficult than actually doing
it. Snail mail. I'm going to stamp from where they enter. I agree. I hate fucking sending mail. I hate it.
Yeah, mailing it in now more difficult than not.
I used to have an apartment, and I had to
phoning it in, the easy way to do it.
I would drive six
texting
miles.
Texting it in, the easy way to do it.
6 miles to hand them the check rather than just sitting in my apartment sure. and writing out the address on the envelope. What a pain in the ass.
I understand.
Anyways, I got clips. I got sound for all my.
Me too.
Songs.
So do I.
Oh no, we don't have time. Let's go.
Oh my God. So top five cameos.
First of all, who is what? What are we listening to?
We didn't
right
talk
now?
About.
I want to bang me some bitches right
sorry.
Now.
Sorry, I just started at the top. Top five cameos coming up in a second. First. Feature artist of the week, Madly in Dub. Madly in Dub is the name of the band. MadlyinDub.com
smooth.
Is the website. Check them out. This is very smooth. I like this kind of intro music.
Do they come to us, Logan, or do you go to them? Or
they did. I just got an email from them about a week ago.
From the actual band or from the label or what?
It is a band that is unsigned.
Awesome.
Uh-huh.
Well, sign these guys, for God's sake. They're very good.
Right. It makes me want to drink, which I'm doing. And last time we drank on the show, I think, because it's a clusterfuck.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, it's not. We're doing fine. Miss Movies is great. We're in your top five. This is fantastic.
All right, top five cameos. Let's get right to it.
What was your criteria? Because I had I had more trouble than I thought. First of all, I came up with a ton off the top of my head, not realizing how many of them were out there.
Yeah.
I started ruling them out based on certain criteria.
I mean, if you look at Annie Dick's workload alone, you got 15 movies.
Yes, in Road Trip, he is fantastic.
Make a living by doing cameos.
Old School, he's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Nice. There's our stinger. Thanks, Logan. Hey, you're rehired for that. Have a beer.
That gets me rehired every week.
Right.
I'm just going to keep doing it.
It was Dawson, actually. Said it. He just pushed
it. Yeah, but he put it together. He made it happen.
Did you put it together?
We made it happen.
I did. I'm also working on a theme song for Miss Movies.
Hey, look at that. Way to go, Logan.
That's a little Dave the Thunder-esque.
Step Clipper game.
I don't know. Maybe I want to save that for the Dave the Thunder show. They did songs. They're the song show.
Let's do one show a week, please, guys. Let's go.
That's right. So, top five cameos. Anderson, criteria, quickly. For a cameo, what is a cameo? What is a
I don't want to ruin any of yours, but I might say, no, that's not a cameo because he's in the movie for 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Or his scene completely encapsulates the movie in itself, and when you see clips of it, it's always his scene,
right.
So no, that doesn't count.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
But I didn't have a time cutoff necessarily.
No.
But multiple scenes, no.
Multiple scenes for me, out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Okay. Number five.
Mine are all true. For the most part.
I think we might actually have some crossover this time.
I want to be shocked.
It might happen. Okay. Number five, the fifth best cameo of all time, according to you.
No, you.
Okay, me? All right. Number five, very funny. Actually, only two comedy cameos on mine. This is one of them from 2004. Oh, you want to Logan, you want to fire up? 2004, the movie Dodgeball. Very underrated movie, by the way.
It's rated just fine.
This is Lance Armstrong.
Much like Sting, it's rated just fine.
Lance Armstrong approaches Vince Vaughn in a bar.
Can I get a bottle of water?
Aren't you Peter LaFleur?
Lance Armstrong?
Always a good sign.
But I'm a big fan of yours.
Our mics should be off.
I've been watching the dodgeball tournament on the Ocho. ESPN 8. I just can't get enough of it. But good luck in the tournament. I'm really pulling for you against those jerks from Globo Gym. I think you better hurry up or you're going to be late.
Actually, I decided to quit. Lance.
Quit? You know, once I was thinking about quitting when I was diagnosed with brain, lung, and testicular cancer all at the same time. But with the love and support of my friends and family, I got back on the bike, and I won the Tour de France 5 times in a row. But I'm sure you have a good reason to quit. So what are you dying from that's keeping you from the finals?
Right now feels a little bit like shame.
Well, I guess if a person never quit when the going got tough, they wouldn't have anything to regret for the rest of their life. But good luck to you, Peter. I'm sure this decision won't haunt you forever.
There you go. Lance Armstrong, by the way, representing all of the athletes who were nominated for Best Cameo by various websites.
One
yeah,
athlete.
This is my one athlete on my list.
You know what made that
a callback, by the way, to earlier joke in the movie, the Ocho, ESPN 8, the Ocho. So it's actually contextual.
Huh? I'm lost.
It's contextual.
Contextual.
So funny in and of itself, funny on the top of the fact that it's Lance Armstrong representing coming back from cancer. He went on to win the Tour de France two more times, by the
very,
way.
Very personal choice for you, bro.
That's right. I, too, will go on to win the Tour de France.
I would give you this as a great cameo
right.
if he whipped out a big syringe and just plunged it into to Vinny's old arm there and said, here you go, here's some steroids.
Why do you hate America?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the fifth best cameo of all time.
You know why I hate that guy?
What?
Lance Armstrong? I fucking hate that guy. Because of his whole, like, yellow, I hate cancer, give me a dollar thing. And everyone, Yeah, and everyone had to wander around with their little, hey, look, I don't like cancer. I paid a dollar to prove that I hate cancer.
Yeah, but that money goes to cancer research and helping. I
know, but don't wear the goddamn thing. It's ridiculous.
To help me with my plight.
Do you have to, like, shove it in people's faces and go, look, I paid a dollar.
Oh, did anyone ever say that?
You hate cancer? No, but that's what the yellow bright bracelet is saying. Then everyone else glommed on, and now people who like give a dollar to every different cause
look
like they're gay because they have a rainbow on their goddamn wrist.
Be that as it may,
I go up to kids all the time at camp who are wearing the yellow bracelets, and I say, oh, you're against cancer? Good for you. Good for you. Way to hate cancer.
Why shouldn't Lance Armstrong for this? This is a fantastic cameo. Belongs on my list.
Okay.
Funny. Laughed out loud. One of the funniest cameos of all time. The best cameo by an athlete. Number 5 on my list.
It's funny because he's so good at riding bikes and he's obviously got such fortitude. He should have maybe practiced acting for maybe a few months, you know?
Yeah,
maybe got an acting coach.
He was too busy whipping France's ass.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry.
I swear to you, that's one of the main reasons why people love that guy so much. If it wasn't for the cancer, they'd love him half as much. And if it wasn't for the fact that he fucks up France all the time because people hate France so much. And you ask the average person why they hate France, they have no idea.
No reason.
They're like, because it's acceptable.
They're rude. They're snooty.
And why is it France we hate, not Germany? Don't you think we should hate Germany a little more than France?
Yeah, we should.
Yeah. Weird. Freedom fries. Fuck you. All right, here we go.
Number 5.
My number 5. I love cameos where they actually play themselves.
Right.
I don't like this movie.
Oh, why?
I don't dislike the actor who's playing himself in the movie. But I'm not going to say that I'm a huge fan of his and I would run out and see anything he's in. However, he stole this movie from me. He was the best part of this movie. I'm talking about Neil Patrick Harris and Harold and Kumar.
Sure.
Fuck yeah. Play the clip.
Oh. Excuse me. Are you Neil Patrick Harris?
Yep.
Oh my God, what are you doing here?
Holy shit. Dude, Doogie Howser MD was like my favorite show growing up. You were my idol.
Yeah, that's great. Can we get going? I'm bored as shit back here.
Go.
Let's go. It's a freaking boring spot. So I gotta ask you, Neil, did you ever get it on with Wando off the set?
Dude, I humped every piece of ass ever on that show.
Even the chick who played the hot nurse?
No. I didn't go all the way with her.
Neil, you wouldn't happen to know how to get on the highway from here, would you?
Dude, I don't even know where the fuck I am right now. I was at this party earlier tonight, and some guy hooked me up with this incredible ex, and next thing I know, I'm being thrown out of a moving car. I've been tripping balls ever since.
That's crazy, dude. You know, we've been having a pretty crazy night, too. We've just been driving around looking for White Castle, but we keep getting sidetracked.
Yeah, dude, you fascinate me. Forget White Castle. Let's go get some pussy.
Huh?
It's a fucking sausage fest in here, bros. Let's get us some poontang, then we'll go to White Castle.
No, Neil, you don't understand. We've been craving these burgers all night.
Yeah, I've been craving burgers, too. Fur burgers.
Come on, dudes. Let's pick up some trim at a strip club.
The doogie line always works on strippers. Lap dance.
There's a gas station. Let me see if we can get directions.
We don't need to. Hurry up, dudes. Hurry up.
Okay, wait. Very funny, but didn't you break your own rule?
Yeah, he shows up again somewhere.
It's like he's in A.
Barely.
A, he's in several scenes.
Not B, several, like two.
When you think of Harold and Kumar, don't you right away think how funny Neil Patrick Harris was?
I don't. I think of Harold and Kumar looking for White Castle.
Yeah, I think the first thing you think of is the Neil Patrick Harris.
That was hilarious. What makes it even more funny is that he doesn't like vagina. He likes the dong.
Yep.
That makes it hilarious that he's playing himself, yet completely obviously a caricature of himself.
Sure.
And I did not break my own role.
You did break your own role.
He's deserving.
No.
He's definitely deserving.
A great role, for sure.
Oh, so it came up and you thought maybe I'll put it on my... Oh,
it's right here on my do not include list.
I want to hear Joe Namath or whoever you're going to have next.
Joe Namath.
No more sports?
No more sports. No more sports. No more sports.
You know what? No more drinking for Anderson.
Number four represents...
On the podcast.
Number four represents... All the directors who have made cameos.
Dude, you're doing my thing where you break it into like categories.
Yeah, but actually,
this is the first week I haven't done that.
These actually are the top five of all time for me. Number four happens to be a director. He's the only director in my top five, and he happens to represent all the directors, all the African Hitchcocks
of the
world,
right,
all the Quentin Tarantinos of the world.
You gonna break my heart?
Probably am.
No.
Number four for me, Logan. Fire out the clip.
No. Son of a bitch! Son of a fuck!
He's in the backseat of a taxi.
Magnum pistol, I'm gonna kill her with that gun. Did you ever see what a 44 Magnum pistol would do to a woman's face? I mean, it would fucking destroy it. Just blow it right apart. That's what it can do to her face.
Turn me on. Not good times. That, of course, while Anderson's peeing, so I'll go ahead and vamp. Martin Scorsese, Taxi Driver, 1976, uncredited, by the way. I think he was credited as uncredited altogether. People referred to him as the angry taxi cab passenger. He wasn't so much angry. He was angry, obviously, but he wasn't like irate, like I've seen him credited as, like irate taxi cab driver or a passenger. He's more of an angry cuckold. He's a cuckold. He's a cuckold, Anderson. Logan, pull up cuckold from dictionary.com. C-U-C-K.
Cuckold is somebody who wants to watch their significant other get banged.
No, it's been co-opted by the porn world.
So I can't believe that you actually had that on your list, because you know what? It's sad to say, but I would not be shocked if you had not.
That's a great cameo.
Never seen Taxi Driver.
What?
Possibly never even heard of it. I wouldn't be shocked.
Oh, shut up.
Taxi what? Taxi was a good movie with Christopher Lloyd. Good show, yeah. I mean.
Yeah. It's a great
Danny
cameo.
Danny DeVito was Lou.
It's the fourth best cameo of all time. Martin Scorsese. He's been in other movies, not even just his movies. He was in Quiz Show. He played a network exec or some shit. But anyway, he's never been better. And never had more screen time, I don't think, than he did in Taxi Driver.
Which I stormed out because I had to pee, and right. I didn't want to sit by while Brian took credit for that. But was it the truncated scene, or did you show the
No, I didn't drop the N-word.
Didn't drop the N-word. Which, you know what, as Louis C.K. says, and I got to agree with him, when you say the N-word, you sound more racist.
Really?
Anyways.
All right, the Urban Dictionary definition
of
cuckold.
No, Urban Dictionary. Yeah.
It's not on Dictionary. It's not on Dictionary.
Because it's not a real word.
All right. Not simply a man whose wife/girlfriend cheats on him, but rather a man who actually gets aroused by knowing or seeing her in sexual situations with other men.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, some might say that he became aroused.
The part
he certainly had his ire aroused.
Where he wanted to shoot her vagina?
Yeah, said, I believe so. He talked about what a 45 does to a woman's face.
Okay, my number four. This hurts me, Brian. It hurts me that you got you truncated. You jumped. You jumped
Sorry about that,
buddy.
You
jumped over and
wow.
My number four. I couldn't find a clip from this.
Hold
actual
together,
movie.
Buddy. Have some beer.
Couldn't find a clip from this actual movie.
Sure.
However, I did find a great clip of Mike Tyson talking about graffiti and the expounds upon the on the merits of graffiti and
I know. The Hangover, your favorite film.
Neg. Movie called Black and White, directed by James Toback, with everyone's in this movie. In fact, you know what? Not a great movie, but there's so many different people and a great ensemble cast.
Yeah. I suggest you go out. Of this movie.
Jared Leto's in it.
In that case,
the scene that I'm talking about is Robert Downey Jr. Is it Leto? I always get confused. He corrected me one time.
Really?
Leto.
Whoa.
I don't know. Billy Crudup's better, though. I can tell you that. But Mike Tyson, he's playing himself, and he's in a party. He's at a party, and Robert Downey Jr., during his drug phase,
right.
He's also playing
the
a drugged
good
out.
Downey.
Drugged out. He's quit anywhere. What are you talking about?
When he was drugged out.
He was great. He's great. Drugged out, not drugged out. But he's playing this gay guy in Black and White, and Claudia Schiffer's also in this movie.
Ooh,
really
la
good
la.
Movie.
Ooh la la.
Robert Downey Jr. approaches Mike Tyson at this party and starts to talk to him. and kind of hit on him, and Mike Tyson beats the fucking shit out of him. It's a great scene. It's a really great, I don't want to say great movie, but it's worth checking out.
Sure.
Couldn't find the clip, but I want to watch this clip anyways. I did stumble across this while looking for the clip.
Okay.
Mike Tyson talking about graffiti. Let's hear it.
Hello, this is Mike Tyson. I'm always, all my years as a young kid coming from the poorest neighborhoods in New York City, I never understood what would make somebody, what they wrote never meant anything to me, their names, because that's all about ego. But what always amazed me is the length and the risk that somebody would take of writing something 1,000 feet in the air. You know what I mean? They absolutely have no meaning to anybody that walks by and see it, but to the individual who wrote it. Those people in his particular constituents. And I just never understood that. I always admired that, that people had died, fell off roofs, fell in train tracks, got electrocuted, got shot by cops for graffiti, else got killed because they crossed out somebody's name. And I just never understood that concept because nobody was rewarded any money. And I don't know, it must have been self and grind, some kind of self and grind. I don't know why he did it. It just was amazing that someone would put their life on the line for literature, in which literature makes the world go around. You know what I mean? Because I believe that most people are influenced by the books they read and the people that they meet. I'm sure he was. And I don't know, I think graffiti is going to go down in history as some of the prolific literature of the world. You know what I mean? 120 years down the line.
That was a great cameo.
Graffiti is going to make it's going to go down the annals of history as some of the greatest literature.
My favorite, I do love when Tyson, he does this a lot. He wedges in a big word where it strangely doesn't really go with skullduggery or constituents.
Well, you know, like the tags down the street, spokes. That's going to be some considered great literature. Imagine the books that poor Tyson's reading if he thinks the fucking tags on the side of the freeway is great literature.
It's good stuff.
Anyways, that was a great little clip. It's out there on YouTube. Check it out.
Enjoyable.
It was enjoyable. So, Brian, go ahead. Give me your number three.
Why don't we take a break and come back for the top three?
Wow, okay.
We'll break early.
Short app.
Yeah, short seg.
Because we're drinking.
No, the first segment went long, so we'll leave it out here. And also, I got to get a new cup for my beer on the Film Vault.
I love music, there's no way to confuse it. It lifts me up when I'm down, there's no way I could lose it. At the center of my world, just like a fisherman's pearl. That's why to me she'll always be like my favorite girl. The one that give my all.
Film Vault, welcome back. Madly and Dub, thank you very much for sending us your fine music. MadlyandDub.com, they are artists of the week. Check them out. They're very good. I like this atmospheric type music.
Logan in the hallway just said that he's going to buy some. Hey, listen, I just looked down my notes, something I forgot to mention, which is the obvious, but it's worth noting that James Toback, the guy that directed Black and White, which I recommend. Just go check it out.
He's Black and White.
It's been a few years.
Oh.
No, he's wore a black and white shirt, though. He's been known to do that from time to time. But no, he's not black and white. He's a white guy. Big, fat white guy.
Wow.
Large white guy.
Okay, what did you forget to mention?
He directed the Tyson documentary that I love so much.
Oh, yeah. That was a good movie.
And he's known Tyson for years and years and years. Tyson, one of the greatest characters walking amongst us.
A genuine character.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't really...
He doesn't know how to lie.
He doesn't really put it on, you know what I'm saying? Like, he is... generally, he's 80% of himself. Kind of like Corolla in the sense that people are like, what's he like off the air? I'm like, he's pretty similar to how he was on the air. Maybe like, you know, 20% less because he knows he's not performing. But like, Tyson...
Whatever he wants to talk about, he's talking about.
Yeah, Tyson, very similar to himself, the persona that you all know.
And what most people don't know him, that's the thing. Unless you've seen Tyson, then you feel like you know him.
Yeah, the documentary reveals him to be... a wounded soul.
I love that documentary. Just cut the part with him walking on the fucking on the sands. I don't need to watch him at sunset talking about his life.
You didn't need that?
No, I didn't need that.
Number three for me. Top five cameos of all time.
I can't believe you totally effed me.
Sorry, bud. I didn't know you were going to do Martin Scorsese and Taxi Driver. I had a sense. That's why I said we have crossover.
I actually quote him daily.
Wow.
From that scene. And it's not the N-word that you're talking
about. You sounded more racist, probably.
Yeah, I know. When I say N-word.
That's right.
It's not the Canadian. Not the word when he says Canadian.
Not the Canadians.
See, that's what I do. I just use the word Canadian instead of the N-word.
A lot of Canadians around here.
A lot. You know who lives in there? Canadian lives in there. What do you think about that?
What do you think about that?
That's the line right there. I always use that all the time.
What do you think about that?
What do you think about that? And I got that from Scorsese. And you know what's great is when I first saw Taxi Driver, I had no idea who the bearded man was in the back. Right. No idea. I just loved him.
Some great character.
It was long before I knew who Scorsese was or anything or how to pronounce his name.
We'll save this for when you mention
Scorsese. I used to call him.
Number three, the funniest for me, the all-time funniest cameo of all time. I said all time twice, but it's that funny. It's hard to compare. Okay, let's get to this point. Comedy doesn't translate well across the decades. You know what I mean? What was funny in 1974, for example, maybe isn't quite so funny today.
Yeah, it can be
lost. As funny today. Yeah. But for me, adjusting for time, you know, adjusting for the period, this clip from 1974, Young Frankenstein, Gene Hackman as the blind hermit is the funniest cameo of all time. Fire it, Logan. Or Katie. Whoever.
Oh, don't speak. Don't speak. Don't say a word. Oh, my joy and my prize from heaven. Oh, you must have been the tallest one in your class. My name is Harold, and I live here all alone. What is your name? I didn't get that. Nope. Oh, forgive me. I didn't realize you were a mute. You see how heaven plans. Me, a poor blind man, and you...
Yeah, cut that. That's fantastic. The comic timing is perfect. Peter Boyle as the monster, and Gene Hackman in disguise as the hermit, the old hermit, the blind hermit, who just wants a visitor, and the monster stumbles upon him. It's fantastic. And here's what I'm going to say about this.
Good, because I have nothing to say.
This is really, you've seen Young Frankenstein, of course.
Half of it. I can't.
Oh
get
my God.
It. Mel Brooks can suck it.
Oh no. Gene Hackman originally uncredited in the role. Here's my theory on this, and it'll come up later in my list, so I don't want to spoil this too much. This has just followed The French Connection, 1971, and The Conversation, 1974. So Gene Hackman,
great movie.
Gene Hackman was
really good.
A big star. He was an A-list star in Hollywood at this point. My thinking is that Gene Hackman, along with other people who may come up later in the list.
I miss Gene, by the way. Where the fuck
are you, Gene? Yeah, Gene Hackman's fantastic.
Come on back. You're not dead yet. Let's go.
He's a character actor stuck wrongly as a lead actor.
What do you think his best role is?
Ooh.
It's tough, right?
He was great. I know.
The Replacements.
No. How dare you? Logan, you're fired.
Take your 22-year-old ass out of here. Logan, earlier tonight, talking about the beer, he's like, I like the beer, but is it supposed to taste so flat? He's like, I don't know, though. It's only my second beer from a keg.
He did say that. Well,
I didn't drink in high school.
I'm feeling pretty sarcastic.
The keg is 48 hours old, so it could be.
I'm going to say Lex Luthor.
I'd say Lex Luthor. That's the obvious answer. He was raised Royal Tenenbaum, too. But Lex Luthor may be his best role. But he's so great
Hoosiers.
Yeah, he's great in this. Right. So anyway, I think there are actors who are mistakenly cast as lead actors whose niche is character actors, and all they want to do is get back to the character acting. And so Gene Hackman took SAG minimum, took scale, and uncredited just to play this part that he thought was so fantastic.
Was that the extent of the part in the movie?
There's a one scene. He's in one scene only.
You're about to say.
There's a whole scene. There's a whole scene where he plays a blind hermit, and the monster stumbles upon him at his little house, and Gene Hackman proceeds to like douse him with like scalding soup and like break his coffee mug, and the whole thing is absurd. It's Mel Brooks slapstick.
Yeah.
Fantastic. For my money, the funniest cameo ever. Number three on my list. Anderson, go.
So do you feel guilty about all the negative comments you got last week?
What?
Because you really brought your A game this week. You're playing Scorsese clips before I can even
I got beer. I got clips.
You got beer. You got all sorts of... What's going on,
nay,
Brian?
Nay, a keg of beer.
Would you stop with a nay?
Nay.
God damn you and your nay.
A keg of beer.
Let's just play the clip. If you don't know what this clip is, I'm jealous of you because that means you get to watch this movie for the first time ever. And I would love to be able to do that. Play the clip. I want to hear some Drexel, bitch.
Oh, that's a good one.
She's with me.
Who the fuck are you?
I'm her husband.
Yeah. Well, that makes us practically related. Grab a seat, boy. Grab yourself an egg roll. We got everything here from a little eye Joe to damn if I know.
No thanks.
No things. What that mean? I think you're too scared to be eaten. Let's see. We're sitting down here, ready to negotiate. You've already given up your shit. I'm still a mystery to you. But I know exactly where your white ass is coming from. See, if I ask if you want some dinner, and you grab the egg roll and start to try it out, I say to myself, this motherfucker, he's carrying on like he ain't got a care in the world, and who knows? Maybe he don't. Maybe this fool's such a bad motherfucker. He don't got to worry about nothing. He just sit down, watch my motherfucking TV. See? You ain't even sat down yet. And that TV over there, since you've been in the room, is a woman with her breasts is just hanging out. You ain't even bothered to look. You're just been clocking me. I know I'm pretty, but I ain't as pretty as a couple of titties.
Wow. Couple of things about that clip.
First of all, Gary Oldman, True Romance.
Gary Oldman.
Which True Romance could actually be renamed as a cameos for life.
Sure.
It's just Samuel L. Jackson. Cameo after another. Yeah. Dennis Hopper.
Yep.
Oh, Christopher Walken.
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer
is Elvis. Brad Pitt.
However, I got a weird, this movie, the clip that he's talking about,
right,
shoots up to it, that's actually Precious. Precious is having her boobs touched.
Oh, stop it, Anderson.
You know what I'm talking about?
That's,
look at the clip.
That's impossible. This that's is like 1991.
Kind of, maybe there's a prequel to Precious that I don't know about where she's molested by
Wayman. Wow, that would have been a very young Precious, by the way.
Still large.
Wow, still young and large.
Sorry, Gabby was one of the nicest girls I've ever met in my life.
I don't think you can call this a cameo because I don't think Gary Oldman was famous enough.
What? He was totally famous enough. Immortal Beloved.
I think he was well known enough at this point.
He already played Sid Vicious. He's huge at this point. What movie made him famous then? This is like old school film ball where we actually argue and stuff back and forth.
Wow.
We never
do
this
anymore. More beer in the film ball.
Gary Oldman is a huge, well celebrated actor at this point.
Wow, I guess. Wow, when would Gary Oldman really break? He never really broke.
He did it. He's always well respected.
Yeah.
I think Immortal Beloved is where he really kind of got his
sure.
And when he played when he was a fine English gentleman, and then he played this Sid Vicious character, that's where he really.
Anyway, he was fantastic in this role. It was I know you love True Romance, but bear with me. I think it's a little overridden in terms of the dialogue. It's a little
like any kind of Tarantino script.
Right,
it is
right.
However, it's not to the point where it's distracting. I don't think. At least
the last time Christian Slater was good was this movie. Right? Was he been good since then?
I don't know. He was in that show where he was the bad guy.
Okay, forget shows. I'm talking about movies.
I don't know.
We talk about movies only, Anderson. Nothing
Pump Up
movies.
The Volume.
Anderson.
He was great in Pump Up the Volume, 1985.
But this is before this, though. Cuffs. He was great.
It's sad because he's like a young Jack Nicholson. You know what? He's going to cash in when Jack Nicholson dies.
You think
he's
going to
take all of the
roles,
Jack. Yeah.
All his old roles.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, can you imagine if somebody just came along and just made all of Jack Nicholson's old movies and just cast Christian Slater? How horrible that would be. Can you imagine? remaking Easy Rider
and
just saying fuck
pieces
it.
Christmas later.
Can you imagine?
How much old is in your knees?
That could happen. I want to be shocked.
That could happen. Number two for me.
Hey, I got a theory. This What's is up? Out of the blue, and maybe because I'm drinking.
Maybe.
But I've been meaning to
fear
talk about
fueled.
This. I've been talking about this theory for a while. I got a theory. This is good. It's like 2-3 minutes long. Settle in, kids. Relax. Sit
All
back.
Right. All right.
You know how Hollywood sucks now? You know how like there's nothing.
That's
there's
a
nothing.
Great premise.
good start. You know there's nothing refreshing, nothing new.
Sure.
There's very very few. Miss Movies comes in here. Poor Miss Movies. She's scouring the internet looking for new movies.
That there's so much refreshing. This beer I have in my hand.
It's always the same old tired bullshit. Remakes, sequels. I got a theory as well.
Sure.
Porn, internet porn,
is ruining everything.
It's ruining everything, Brian. Because no one has to use their fucking imagination anymore. People just turn on the internet porn. They beat off to whatever, like, big boob bitch, sucking a donkey, whatever they want to see. It's because back in the day, before the internet porn, man, we had to use our imagination. Yeah. Like, you know,
no,
I'm sitting in class,
you know, like,
and the teacher sashays up to me, and she and she drops her pencil, you know. I got to make up my own shit.
Sure.
And that would lead, I mean, to
it's like in the old
story
days,
lines.
Having to go get like water from a well, as opposed to nowadays, just turn on the faucet. It's right there. You don't respect water as much.
I do, and we do actually. That's a terrible example.
No,
we all buy bottled water. We actually pay more for water now than ever before. Terrible example. The point is, our imagination is killed.
In the old days, you had to go fly a kite. No.
Okay. If I want to see like a young girl become airtight.
Oh my God.
I could see that within 5 seconds. I don't have to, like, well, how would she become airtight? How does she become airtight? Is it because there's a fire and a bunch of firemen have to come out of her house? Is it because she ordered an extra large order from Domino's and they needed five? You know, sure. I used to have to come up. I'm guilty as well. I'd have to come up with, like, you know, inventive ways to finish. And now it's just whatever. And just type it in. It's like, I want to see something good on the screen. And that's what they do now.
I just did the math on what airtight means. They should call it watertight.
Because
the air can get out of her nose.
No, that's part of it.
Oh,
that's
no.
That's what the small guys are for. Oh. Mike, where is this? Never beer again. Anyways, I blame a poor, cheap porn on the right. lack of creativity. All right,
pull it together, Ernest. Number two for me. A great cameo.
Why are we drunk on the podcast? This is terrible.
Speak for yourself, dude.
No, you're wasted. You are drunk. Speak for yourself. Come on, Brad. You know what sucks? We're going to be doing this in like 3 weeks, too, for the 25.
So get ready.
The 25-week anniversary.
Number two for
me. I hope it's a lot worse, though. Like,
oh, hey. Oh, do you? Listen to Katie in the background. What? What? You hope it's worse? How can it
be worse?
Airtight. What does that mean?
Katie, come in here. We'll show you what it means. Whoa. They got fired for that?
Go. You're losing it, Brian. Go. Come on, cameos, dude. Cameos. My number one is cameos.
All right.
He's playing the end. He's trying to be a smartass. Yeah, the show's over.
Number two. A great cameo. Borderline... what you talked about earlier with being like what people think about when they think of the movie. You know what I mean? Like,
I know where you're going.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Does it have to do with selling knives?
It does. Oh, play the clip. Number two.
Get their names to sell them. You can't close the leads you're given. You can't close shit. You are shit. Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it because you are going out.
The leads are weak.
The leads are weak. Fucking leads are weak. You're weak. I've been in this business 15 years.
What's your name?
Fuck you. That's my name. You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW. That's my name.
By the way, $80,000 BMW in 1992 dollars? That's... I don't know any BMWs that cost that now. Anyway, be that as it may, Anderson's peeing, so I'll vamp for a second. Glengarry Glen Ross, Alec Baldwin, 1992. Here he comes. Here's my theory on this. This is the Gene Hackman thing. Alec Baldwin had just come off of, Beetlejuice, 1988. Hunt for Red October, 1990.
Terrible.
And The Marrying Man, 1991. Now, not all quality films, but my point is...
With
Kim Basinger. Point is... He was being shoved out there by Hollywood as a leading man because he was good looking, he had a good voice, blah, blah, blah. He was a leading man. No, he was a character actor stuck in a leading man's body.
Whatever, Brian. He defines this movie.
That's what I'm saying. This movie. All he wanted to do, as evidenced by what he's doing now, is be a character actor. Be the guy that comes in, the pinch hitter, the guy that comes in and saves the day.
This scene's 8 minutes long.
Yeah, it's his only scene.
100 minutes long.
Right. It's his only
He's
scene.
He's in 10% of the movie.
He steals the film. This part, by the way, was originally not in the play, in the original David Mamet play. This was not part of the play. Mm-hmm. This is added after the fact, after Baldwin was actually hired to play Ricky Roma, Al Pacino's part. Pacino came in to play Ricky Roma, moved him off to the Blake character, as he's known. By the way, I'm not drunk. I've just caught a bit of the giggles.
Whatever that was.
Yeah, sorry.
All I heard was giggles.
Yeah. I just caught
I'm not drunk, and then I heard blah, 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 giggles.
I just caught a case of the giggles. I apologize for that. Anyway, point is, Baldwin, obviously, as time has shown us, better as a character actor.
He's better fat. You know, when he was skinny little nerdy guy, like in Beetlejuice?
Carolla has a great theory that he sort of did it to himself. He ate himself out of the leading man physique. And I think that's actually something to it. It's like he sort of sabotaged his own leading man career.
I think there's a 60 Minutes piece on him where they're talking about how well he's aged, how he's aged gracefully. Like he's
well for the parts he's playing.
He's
sure.
become like the fat, funny guy. Yeah. You know, he's oh not fat, but he's like you know overweight. But it's not like ooh, what happened to Alec?
He's perfect for the parts he's playing. If he was still going after the leading man roles, Richard Gere roles, he would be like, oh my god, Alec Baldwin, what happened to him? But he's great as a supporting character.
I'm going to tell you about the time that he came to Loveline, when he was on Loveline.
He's been on a couple times, I thought.
One.
Oh, you have a drops room.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. At one night. I collect as many drops as possible. But it was really funny, because it was back in the day when I used to care, and I'd get there like an hour before the show.
Sure.
So I was there at like 9, and there was like two dudes out front waiting. Okay. I'm like, really? Already? But it was Alec Baldwin, so I'm like, oh, really? Hey! Already? Okay, hey, how are you?
Hey, Baldy.
I'm AK, Alec Anderson, come on in. And he's got a buddy with him. And, he starts asking all these questions, like, when do the guys get here? When's Adam and Drew get here? I'm like, you know, Drew will be here in about a half hour. Adam will be here in about 58 minutes or so. Because sure. he shows up about 30 seconds before the show starts. He goes, okay, okay. I'm like, you know what you want to do, man? Is you want to walk down the street, go to a bar? You don't want... Because I was, like, nervous about entertaining Alec fucking Baldwin
yeah, an ALS star.
For an hour.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, this is like 10, 12 years ago, probably. I'm like, just go down the street, get yourself a drink or something. He's like, okay, all right. You want to show me around? When does Anderson get here? I'm like... What did you
wow.
say? I said, what? He said, when does Anderson get here? I'm saying, I'm Anderson, Al. Are you kidding me right now? And he goes, show me. Show me the drops, man. Show me where this works.
Wow.
He was a huge Loveline fan, which made me just love him that much more.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
I
awesome.
I never knew that. You never told that story.
It was one of the highlights of my very, very seldomly highlighted career.
Number two for you. Second best cameo
number
of all
two,
time.
You fucking stole it, you prick.
Ah.
Yeah.
Taxi driver.
I'd like to make you airtight right now, bitch. Oh, my stealing God. My number two.
In the nose?
Yeah.
In the ears?
Mm.
Oh, God.
No. Katie's ears would be tough because they're small.
Yeah, small ears. I have to get a primordial dwarf in here.
Marty Scorsese.
Primordial dwarf is a hard thing to say when you've been drinking.
Playing
primordial.
I hope kills Mike. Kills drunken Mike. Marty Scorsese playing. I hope not himself in the back of De Niro's cab in Taxi Driver. This movie, he did kill your mic. I could tell by mine.
Why?
He did.
Oh,
great movie. If you haven't seen this, I am jealous. As I said before, 1976. The only thing that I really, really dislike about this movie is the score. But even that grows on me
kinda,
after a while. It's
the
bad
the clip
70s
I played,
saxophone.
It was kind of a, yeah, kind of a weird. Yeah.
But Albert. Oh my God, I should not have not gotten on this road. Oh my
De Niro.
God. No, Albert De Niro. Albert Brooks.
Right.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
Albert Brooks is so
That's
fucking
the senator
great.
Senator or the congressman, whatever
this,
he is.
This movie's probably in the top 10 Anderson's seen most movies. And I remember watching it when I was
this
younger.
Movie, thinking, this movie holds up, by the way.
It totally holds up, except for the music.
And the funny thing is, the ending is actually more more relevant today than it was back then. How, like, the serial killer turns into a celebrity. You know what I'm saying?
No. I don't really see that.
Think about
no.
that.
No.
Oh, I think
he didn't really become a celebrity. There was a clip about him. There was a little newspaper clipping.
Okay, sorry, not celebrity. He's celebrated for his deeds.
Anyways, that's my
He's
number.
Celebrated for his horrible deeds.
I was
that's
very
more
excited.
Relevant today than it was then.
Yes. Okay, true. Good. They weren't horrible deeds. They were misread deeds. They were things that it was misread and misquoted by the press,
sure.
which is what happens today quite often, yes. Okay. But usually the other way around. Usually somebody does something decent and they try and make them look bad.
Number two. That was yours.
That was my number two.
Number one for me.
My God, the show's off the rails. How are we
not,
ever going?
No, it's not at all.
I'm not going to lie. The next.
Don't make me laugh.
I'm doing it. The next segment you're going to hear is with Miss Movies. However, we did it earlier.
That was yeah. first.
No.
That
no.
was first.
I'm coming clean. We're doing Miss Movies next.
No, we're not.
And it was before. It's not going to match up, man. Because you know what? Continuity wise, bro, I went to film school, man. I shoot movies. I know how it goes.
Logan Anderson,
we're gonna be
right now.
We're going to be completely and totally sober for the last segment, and we're
no,
drunk for this
dude.
One.
You know that Miss Movies was already on,
the first
right?
segment.
God damn
it. Like fashion, Miss Movies.
All right, so cut all that. Cut all that.
We did it in order, dude.
I love Katie in the background.
That's good stuff. All right, number one for me.
Christ.
A serious turn from Paul Bryan.
I wish I could fire myself.
This is not funny. Anderson. Oh, no. Oh no. Oh no, came out of your nose. Logan, produce a paper towel. Oh my God. Remember the time Anderson threw up in studio? I'm trying to be serious here!
No, be serious.
God damn it.
I'm sure I'm drowning. Alright, go.
I thought you were airtight. Alright, number one for me. Anderson.
Yeah.
The guy who just came in here. What's his name?
Chris.
Oh, you know. Damn it.
I know people's names, dude.
Front embarrassing. No, All right. Number one for me.
I ask you people's names sometimes, and you say, I don't know.
I have no idea.
I have no idea what they're...
Number one for me. I actually thought of this right away when we came up with the category. And because I saw this... You know there's a period in your life where, like, it's just... When was the period in your life we just started getting into movies? You know what I mean? You just started to, like, discover movies that weren't, like, you know, Cineplex, you know, big studio about blockbusters. And you're like, oh, this is a really interesting movie. I'm going to see this. And you're like, wow, that really affected me.
I have no idea what you're talking about right
now. No, at some point in your life, you probably went from
When you realize that movies actually affect you.
You probably went from being a young, blockbuster-loving person who didn't really have an idea of movies that were outside of the mainstream to, like, loving movies that were maybe not quite up mainstream Hollywood's alley.
So when are you going to make that transition?
Wow. That's a good one.
Transformers, G.I. Joe.
The year for me was, well, it wasn't actually this year, but I saw this after the fact. 1989, Drugstore Cowboy.
Wow.
There's a great cameo
Brian,
in there.
Brian, you're blowing my mind right now.
There's a great cameo in Drugstore Cowboy by the author, the beat poet.
Because
of the
football? Because of the football picks he made last week? Is this why?
I felt like I had to come back strong.
You bring your A game?
Yeah, I brought an A game and a keg. Paid off, one didn't.
That's the first time that I've had stuff come out of my nose from laughing, actually, since probably, like elementary school.
My balls came prepared.
Yeah, they did.
What?
That's the name of my fantasy team.
Yeah, all right.
All right, good times. Fire at the clip. This is William S. Burroughs, the beat poet, the beat author of the Beat Generation, making a cameo in Drugstore Cowboy. I'll explain afterwards why this is interesting.
Tom, you told me a lot of the old time stories about how you used to stick your arm in between the bars of the cell. The guard would come by and he'd fire you up a shot of morphine. Well, they never did that for me.
Well, they don't do that for anyone anymore. Narcotics have been systematically scapegoated and demonized. The idea that anyone can use drugs and escape a horrible fate is anathema to these idiots. I predict in the near future, right-wingers would use drug hysteria as a pretext to set up an international police apparatus. An old man, I may not live to see a final solution of the drug problem.
You know what, Tom?
There you go. That's William S. Burroughs. The beat poet, the beat author, playing a defrocked priest named Tom, advising Matt Dillon's character on the dangers of drug abuse. Now, it's interesting because I was vaguely familiar with William S. Burroughs at the time, came to find out that after the fact, William S. Burroughs was an author, 18 novels, 18 novellas, many poets, many collections of poetry and short stories. He was addicted to morphine, heroin, all sorts of drugs for like the last 50 years of his life. Lived a very hard life. Actually killed his wife, accidentally shot her in the head in Mexico while playing a game of William Tell. You know, the shoot the apple off the head thing? Shot her in the head, killed her. It's a horribly tragic life, a horribly ironic sort of, like, if you're in the production room saying, who should we get for this part? Oh, we should get a William S. Burroughs type. And you get William S. Burroughs. That's pretty amazing. Roger Ebert called it like having, quote, a cameo by death himself. And it was. It affected a young teenage Brian Bishop. And I was very
Tell
moved.
Tell me more, Mr. Bishop.
That's right.
Tell me more.
Very moved by this this movie, Drugstore Cowboy. Under the radar, by the way. Gus Van Sant, good movie. A young Heather Graham also. A young Kelly Lynch. Matt Dillon. Not Damon, I was about to say. Anyway,
very
good
hot
movie.
Matt Dillon.
William S. Burroughs.
When he's back when he was still very,
yeah,
very attractive.
That was like, The Outsiders era, Matt Dillon.
And this is actually in my queue because I haven't seen it since I was a teenage bum. And I need to watch this again.
Sure.
We are, I'm terribly distracted.
We're way over time.
By how over time we are. My number one.
The greatest cameo of all time, William S. Burroughs.
Very personal for me.
Sure.
Very personal.
Sure.
I love the cameo performer. His name is Chris McGlover.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Hot tub time. No, okay.
No. Charlie's Angels. Charlie's Angels 2.
I love David Lynch.
Right.
I love this movie, Wild at Heart.
Sure.
It's before Nicolas Cage sold his soul to the Hollywood Devil.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great movie. I haven't seen it. Laura Dern is the voice you will hear right off the bat. She's talking about Jingle Dale. This is the true spirit of a cameo. It's a side story that didn't need to be told. The movie could stand up on its own. Because Wild at Heart is filled with little like offshoots like this where shit just happens and it's just for the sake of funny one-liners and stories. Jingle Dale is her, Laura Dern's cousin, who she's trying to make Nicolas Cage's character Sailor feel better by explaining Jingle Dale's plight in the world. He's an insane, fucked up, crazy man who ends up, they call him Jingle Dale because he loves Christmas and he dresses up like Santa Claus year round. Played by Chris McGlover. He also makes, he puts cockroaches on his anus and then walks around. They have a scene, a shot of him walking around where we got to believe there's a cockroach up on his butt because he's walking in such a way.
Isn't
and
more
shows
than one scene?
No, one. Fuck you.
Oh, wow.
It's a very long, it's a 6-minute scene where she's telling the story and Jingle Dale is playing the parts and it, you know, flashes back. It's a great little 6 minutes of cinema. But I just use the word cinema, you block.
Film.
Remember when you wanted to call the show Cinereal or
Cinebeat.
Whatever? Cinebeat.
Cinebeat. Like Cinnabon.
No, that's good.
Like Cinnabon.
Make everyone run to cinema. Anyways, another thing that Crispin Glover loves to do here is make sandwiches. Late at night, here's a scene where his mom catches him making a shitload of sandwiches, probably like 60 sandwiches in the middle of the night. Here it is. Roll the clip there. Thank you very much, Lokes.
I got so he'd stay up all night making sandwiches.
Belle, what are you doing?
I'm making my lunch!
It's short but sweet. It goes on and on and on. What? I don't want you to go watch this just on YouTube because that would be doing a disservice to the entire movie. The entire movie. It's not easy to get through. It's very difficult at times and for certain folk. But it's a great movie. I love. Logan, have you seen this?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God, Logan.
Oh, yeah, I want this one.
It's on my queue, though.
Yes, cool.
Sweet. This reminds me, by the way, of Crispin Glover's second best outburst after this movie. In a movie, I think you and I, did you just say Willer together?
I know, we didn't see Willer together. There's one good movie, part in the
There's
movie.
There's one good movie when, like,
he yells
like,
the stupid little dog.
Oh, no, the investigator or whatever yells, says, hey, man, just, you know, start over, pick up the pieces, start over again. And he freaks out, I'm just getting finished! That's good stuff.
I love Crispin. This is like a little short within a movie.
This works because Crispin Glover was known as George McFly up to this point.
He wasn't really known, period.
But I mean, if you were to know him, you'd be like, oh, that's George McFly.
Yeah, you might not even know if you can recognize him because there's no close-ups at all. It's like a true cameo. Like, right. He's in the background. It's like you have to be a Crispin Glover, which David Lynch obviously was, to even recognize him. Or especially back then when this movie came out, like in the early 90s, 91, I think.
Well, I was like 1990, 1989.
So, anyways, I love Jingle Dale. Love. He's my favorite. He's who came up in my mind immediately.
You're like, I split hairs between 1990 and 1991.
91!
90!
But here's the funniest part of the whole thing, Brian. When I'm looking for the clip to send to Logan for right now, we can start hearing some music probably. I'm going to go out. You know when like your little YouTube clip finishes?
Sure.
The first clip that I wanted to pick was 3.5 minutes long, 4 minutes, and it was the entire story of Jingle Dale and how it goes to where he thinks aliens are coming to get him.
Sure.
And never, like I said, never a close-up of Jingle Dale's face, so you can't ever see Crispin Glover, although you can hear his voice.
Sure.
But the funniest part is when the YouTube clip ends and you see other related clips,
sure.
The first clip that comes up is how to make sandwiches for a picnic.
Oh no! I like to think it works both ways. That some innocent mom goes on to like the how to make sandwiches for a picnic, and like, oh, a clip of Crispin Glover, how lovely!
And he is making sandwiches.
Yeah,
but yeah, I scream out just when I get frustrated, when I'm really angry, and I'll yell out, "I'm making my lunch" quite often.
Now wait, can we play the bonus clip that I brought?
You brought a bonus. Oh, we need to talk about other.
Only because this didn't make my list, but it's funny in retrospect. Because this is Roger Clemens making an appearance in Kingpin. Let's hear it.
Get it, kid. Teaching me to dance. I didn't know how to dance. Do you want to dance?
What are you trying to say? You want me to dance?
Well, no, not if you don't want to. I mean, I just was.
I can't believe you're in here trying to move in on my squirrel. I'd have stoot slap your ass right now.
We're gonna drill you another asshole shithead.
There you go. Funny only in the retrospect because I realized Roger Clemens is probably on steroids during that scene.
One more example as to why Kingpin is not that great a movie. Has-beens, washed up, flash in the pans like Roger Clemens, who are just steroided fucks.
You like the idea right? that,
it's
like,
oh, you're the flavor of the week. Let's get you in this movie. Like it's called Kingpin. Like, see, him, it's like, funny. See? No, bullshit.
Tell him, like, dial it down. Hey, Roger, easy on the anger.
I also got Steven Seagal, who almost made my list because he's an executive decision, which was very upsetting.
That was a good cameo.
Great cameo because he dies right away. I'm like, oh, fuck, Steven Seagal's
in this movie?
And then he dies. He flies out the plane dead. Good. See ya. That was hilarious. Yep. Also, Ween and it's Pat. Actually, it makes me like the band a little bit less. But Vincent Gallo and Basquiat, just because he was actually friends with the actual artist, Basquiat. Sure. He has no lines at all. Vinny just sits there at the table. Vinny G just sits there at the table looking like Vinny G does. No lines at all. You got to love that. Chris Farley and Billy Madison almost made my list. Terry Bradshaw and Hooper for you old people out there. I grew up on Hooper. Love Hooper. It's hilarious.
Bradshaw, the quarterback.
Terry Bradshaw playing a ruffian redneck in a bar, and he beats the S.
That's hard. That's a stretch. A redneck at a bar for Terry Bradshaw.
Sure. And he beats the ass out of, why am I drawing a blank on his name? Because I'm drunk, that's why. Claudia Schiffer in Love Actually.
He beats the crap out of Claudia Schiffer?
No.
Oh, my God.
Who the hell? Why can't I think of his goddamn name? Oh, my God.
You want to hear the films at my next top five?
Burt Reynolds. Jesus Christ. He beats the hell out of Burt Reynolds.
Make my top five.
Drew Barrymore in Scream. Charlie Sheen and Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You disappoint me. I thought for sure you were going to have that.
Oh, that was stupid.
What? It was great. Thumb up the ass. He looks at his thumb. Hilarious.
That was all right.
That was awesome. It was hilarious. Janine Garofalo in The Cable Guy. However, she did not make my list because, as I said, she is Janine Garofalo. Fuck her.
You know what I thought for sure would make your list, by the way? Hunter S. Thompson in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
That's stupid. He's just
that was funny.
There.
It's like, there I was. Whoa, shit, there I am.
Very funny.
Oh, that was hilarious.
The whole movie, huge disappointment.
All right. Shirley MacLaine.
Val Kilmer, True Romance is ours.
Shirley MacLaine.
Alfred Hitchcock in every fucking movie he's ever
seen. Defending Your Life, Shirley MacLaine. Yeah. She parodies her own self.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Brett Favre, this is about Mary. Billy Zane in Zoolander.
In Defending Your Life, how did she...
They go to the Hall of Past Lives.
Yes, which
to
is see great. What that's on the way to San Diego.
Yeah,
you can see
to
that.
See what they've been.
I apologize for this episode being so fucking sloppy.
It's a good episode.
No.
And Shirley MacLaine's like, hi, I'm Shirley MacLaine. Welcome to Hall of Past Lives.
How is that?
Which is funny because
herself?
Her whole thing was like... for a long time, she was like known as the lady who believed she like had been reincarnated.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah. I didn't realize that. But I do like that movie a lot.
Billy Zane, Zoolander. Listen to your friend Billy Zane. It's good stuff.
Took a lot of abuse about Billy Zane last week, too. Billy Zane's in Back to the Future, you dumb fucks.
Had this been the year after it came out, I would have put it on there, but it's since lost its luster. But Bob Saget and Half-Baked at the time was like, oh, well, Bob Saget's cursing and being crazy and being blue.
Well, that's for but anyone like, now who doesn't that's know his stand-up.
Act. Now that's his whole act.
That's been his whole act.
But
for
saying,
a long
it was
time.
Like, people didn't really know that at the time, I don't think, in 1998 or whatever it was.
Bob Saget was like a funny comedian who got roped in and, you know, paid a bunch of money to be on a sitcom and play the straight guy, which he resented, so he probably made his it probably even became more blue his stage presence.
Well, Bob Saget and Half-Baked was fantastic.
Blue, yeah.
A couple of honorable mentions from Twitter.
Logan, can we hear the honorable mentions from Twitter?
Yeah, we have it, and of course we have Bill Murray from Zombieland.
Of course,
too long
for me.
And yeah, plus the movie sucked too bad.
That was probably the most tweeted one. We got Val Kilmer from True Romance.
Yeah.
Hey, I already said it. Great.
Charlton Heston from Wayne's World 2.
Ooh.
Bruce terrible. Springsteen from High Fidelity.
Ooh, Charlton Heston in Bowling for Columbine.
Oh, come on. It was only one scene. The Bruce Springsteen thing, it was in multiple scenes, so I didn't count that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, Will Ferrell from Wedding Crashers.
Yeah, you know what? That's one of the ones that I got hit up with the most.
That was okay.
That was great, though. You know what? That was the best example of, like, you don't know he's in the movie, and then he shows up. And it's like, holy shit, it's Will Ferrell, and it's right at the end of the movie. Right. That was pretty great.
Yeah. Jim Carrey and Simon Birch.
Jim Carrey and nothing. How about that? Fuck you, Simon Birch, too. You know what?
Wasn't Simon Birch. Wasn't he the voice in the movie? Wasn't he like a voiceover throughout?
I hated Simon Birch so much because remember it stole the thunder from The Mighty?
The Mighty.
You know, we'll talk about The Mighty later.
Yeah. Based on Prayer for Noah Meany.
Joe Pesci in A Bronx Tale.
Wrong.
It was 100%.
Joe Pesci in what?
In A Bronx Tale.
100% right.
Yeah, The Might. Not The Mighty.
No. Simon Birch was based on A Prayer for Noah Meany.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about The Mighty.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry.
All right. We got Mike Tyson of The Hangover, of course. And Matt Damon in Eurotrip.
Yeah, you know what? That was also my fucking lip because Scotty doesn't know. And that was awesome.
And his buddy
you
Ben
like
Affleck.
That?
I added that one myself.
His buddy Ben Affleck.
You did? Good job, Logan.
In Boiler Room.
Scotty doesn't fucking know. And you know what? Yeah, Boiler Room. Another good movie.
Affleck.
And Giovanni is really good in that, too. And Affleck, it's one of the few movies that I've seen him in where I don't want to fucking kick him right in the balls.
Yeah. I wrestled myself, no pun intended, over Bob Barker in A Happy Gilmore.
Oh, because that's so funny, because he gets beat up. The price
Price is Wrong, bitch.
Yeah,
that's
kind of funny.
That's
so funny.
So funny because he's playing against his type.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right. He's a nice he's an guy old man. On TV. Nice
you know what he should have been doing is going out and making dogs a hump each other.
Get it on.
Do not get your dogs and cats spayed or neutered.
All right, hump. Good time.
Top five cameos.
Yeah, I forgot about that sting. Thank you, Logan, for acquiring that sting for us.
Christopher Walken and everything, too.
Top five cameos. Everything. Hope you enjoyed. Tweet us your suggestions for future top fives.
I want to see the Bob Barker balls. Forcing dogs to hump.
The film vault. Anderson's
playing them like an accordion. Just
Logan, taking... your next job as producer, go hide Anderson's keys.
Let's have a beer. Come
All
on.
Right. Until next
Everybody,
time.
Meet me in the parking lot.
Until next time.
Oh, yeah. No, we're doing Miss Movies this, right? Oh, wait.
No,
she's already done.
Already.
Holy fuck.
All right.
Doing it for motherfucking Van Gogh, bitch.
I hope you enjoyed that, you guys. That was a lot of fun for us. We'll walk down memory lane. If you liked it, maybe we'll do more of these. Logan, you want to go through the archives? We talked about it before, right? Going through the archives and making them available to people?
Pretty soon, hopefully. It's taking a lot longer than I thought it would. I have to cut out mentions of our past life.
Mm. Sure.
What?
Sure.
What? Why? Why?
Because there's companies being mentioned that don't exist
sponsors
anymore.
Sponsors.
Oh, like the...
Sponsors, like networks, stuff like that.
Cut out the reads and whatnot. But
promos for podcasts that don't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people might like to actually hear that.
Kind of
like
Daniel, fossilized.
Tosh.0, every time he goes to break, he always says, "And coming back," and he says the name of some dead TV show. Mm. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Fun.
Anyway, hey, Logan, thanks for all the hard work you did on that. And I don't know if we should do that as an actual episode again anytime in the near future, but I do like the idea of making them all available at some point.
Beautiful. Until next time, you guys, who do we do it for?
We do it for Van Gogh.